You're listening to Relevant Radio, 950 AM and 930 AM. Talk radio for Catholic life. Good morning. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will bring you programs about the people, the issues, and the faith that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
The Director for Evangelization and Missionary Discipleship for the Archdiocese, your host. And with me today is a special guest, co-host, Darius Villalobos. You probably remember Darius, who used to be with me before. He is now in the Office of Lifelong Formation in the Youth and Young Adult Ministry area. Welcome, Darius.
Thank you, Beth. Glad to join you this morning.
Our topic this morning is about youth and young adult ministry, in particular, theology on tap. We also have in studio with us Christina Bax, who is the Pastoral Associate and Director of Evangelization at St. Clement's in Lincoln Park. Good morning. Welcome.
Good morning.
Thanks for being with us, Christina.
My pleasure.
So today we are going to talk about Theology on Tap and a little bit of its history and its renovation. As we go through Renew My Church, there will be a lot of different things that we're going to take some time and focus on renewal. And Theology on Tap is one of those. So I thought I would ask our two in-studio guests to kind of give us a little brief history on Theology on Tap for those of us who may not know as much about it. So Darius, how long has Theology on Tap been around and where did it come from?
Theology on Tap is actually getting ready to celebrate its 37th year here in the Archdiocese of Chicago. It started right here in our own backyard at St. James Parish in Arlington Heights. And it really grew into kind of the premier outreach to young adults in the Chicagoland area by inviting young people to gather together where they were already at, bars and local restaurants. And it's bringing the church conversation to them. So the goal was to find really good and dynamic speakers who can talk about the faith, but talk about it in a way that relates to young people's lives.
So, Christina, you run one of the larger groups of Theology on Tap at St. Clement's. So tell us a little bit about the structure of it. How long does Theology on Tap last and all of that?
Sure. I would say most Theology on Tap events run about 2 hours, but it's a good mix of time for socialization and having, of course, some food and beverages, and hearing some insights from a speaker on particular topics, time for conversation and questions, and carrying the conversation on, even sometimes into the night, going to other establishments or following up the next weekend at Mass with folks and really starting a larger conversation about faith and what it means to be young adults trying to live the faith.
And how many weeks does it run for usually?
It's usually a 4-week speaker series in the summer. The Archdiocese has several sites who host it and typically coordinate together, and it's offered in multiple places in the diocese across those 4 weeks.
So at the top I was talking about it was being renovated a little bit. So, Darius, you want to tell us a little bit about what some of those new facets to it? Anything 37 years old, you know, needs a little refresher.
Of course. Theology on Tap is almost not a young adult anymore.
So, true enough.
We were taking a look at it and really saying, how do we get back to basics? And I think in that mindset, we wanted to get back to bringing the conversation to where young adults were at. I think Theology on Tap really started off as a way to do evangelization, a way to bring the church to where young adults were gathering and congregating and having it be relevant to their lives. And I think over the last few years, particularly here in Chicago, we wanted to provide more formation and kind of deeper conversations, which wasn't bad, but I think it just got away from meeting the everyday needs of young adults, particularly those young adults who aren't connected to the church, who aren't connected to a faith community. So in planning for this year, what we invited sites to consider was, who's your audience? And to think very intentionally about who are the young adults you're trying to reach. So to do that, we have three different track offerings. The first one, Learn It, is kind of the evangelization focus, having really creative and basic conversations of faith. It's something that if you're going to church as a young adult, you can invite your friend who doesn't go to church and you'll both get something out of it. The second one, the formation track or the Grow It, is really to go deeper on particular topics or issues relevant to the faith and everyday lives of young adults. And then the last one, Serve It, is all about service. And so it's a way to make the give an opportunity for doing some really wonderful service for a community or an organization, but tying it back to why we are called to serve. And that's because as being followers and disciples of Jesus Christ, we're called to care for the least of these, the least of our brothers and sisters. And so it will be a service opportunity / theological reflection on what that service is and why it's important.
So, Christina, I think you're a part of the committee that's helped to make some of these renovations. Is that right?
Yes, indeed.
And so what do you think about all of these renovations? From how long have you been in charge of the Theology on Tap at St. Clement's?
So I have worked with Theology on Tap at St. Clement's for 8 years.
Okay.
And also got to collaborate at Old St. Pat's previous to that while I was doing an internship. And it's been very exciting to be part of the renewal task force. I've been very encouraged by the openness to rethink what are we doing and why, and to really invite us to think in new and creative ways, as well as to work together more intentionally. You would think that would be an obvious thing that was taking place already between parishes, but sometimes it can be easy to fall into our own routines. So it's been a really great opportunity to have conversations with parishes that we are neighboring to work together and to offer more diverse and unique opportunities instead of all doing the same subjects or same speakers. So in the vein of Renew My Church, it's been a great invitation to greater collaboration and getting to know the young adult volunteers and ministers at other parishes and really looking at what are we doing to meet the needs of young adults in Chicago instead of just thinking from the lens of how am I going to run this parish program?
That's great because that is Renew My Church, the whole
exactly.
concept of working together in collaboration.
Yes.
So are you doing something unique with the parishes? I think Darius had mentioned to me that you were doing something unique with the parishes near you.
So we've worked very intentionally with the other parishes in our grouping, in our deanery and vicariate to make sure that we are doing different tracks.
Nice.
Our neighbors with St. Alphonsus up on Southport and Wellington, and made sure we intentionally chose different tracks because we're very close. There's also four other parishes in our deanery that have decided to work together this year. So St. Vincent de Paul had hosted in previous years, but this year they've joined forces with St. Michael's in Old Town, St. Teresa of Avila, and a there's one more.
Immaculate Conception St. Joe.
My apologies, any IC St. Joe listeners. And they are all working together, and they are going to each host a night at a restaurant or bar near their parish and have kind of a combined track, which I think is really exciting to be able to invite more people in. And, you know, those four parishes maybe couldn't each support their own site, but coming together and really being able to offer something neat and unique and whatnot. So
I think Theology on Tap had originally started sort of in restaurants and bars, but had kind of moved back to parish because of just it became easier just to do it in the parish hall, right?
Right. So. And I think it also started as more of a collaboration between parishes,
okay.
Such as the example they're providing, and for various reasons kind of devolved into more of a parish program. But there is a definite more intentional effort, especially for our Learn It tracks, those mm-hmm. evangelization sites, to go out to locations that are perhaps more neutral. Mm-hmm. If someone might not be comfortable, I haven't been in a church in a while. I don't know that I want to go to the talk in the church basement. But, sitting outside on the patio at this restaurant, I could do that. So there is that aspect of going out to be where young adults are.
Well, and the easiest, one of the most basic things for evangelization is invitation. Mm-hmm. And it's much easier to invite somebody to something neutral. Mm-hmm. And they can just come and have something to eat or something to drink and just participate in a conversation. And hopefully some seeds will be planted and we'll see what happens from there. But that's just wonderful.
Yeah. It also provides us at St. Clement, we have signed on for the evangelization track. It provides us with an opportunity to really engage and empower our young adults who do come regularly to take that role of invitation.
Right.
We're brainstorming different ways to get that going, whether it's bring a friend, get a free keychain or something a little more exciting than that. But to try and empower young adults to think about being inviters, evangelizers.
Right. No, that's wonderful. And these low-risk kinds of opportunities are wonderful. So as part of the kickoff, there's a kickoff event. Mm-hmm. We've invited Father Thomas Rosica, who is the founding CEO of Salt and Light Television, and to come in and to do a talk. When is that going to happen?
That will happen Monday, July 10th, and that will be an evening gathering for anybody's welcome to attend, though we will have to cap it at some point. So we will have an opportunity for online registration, but we hope for a really wonderful conversation with Father Tom, who just has so much experience and so many so much rich history to pull from his experience working on World Youth Day, with working with many popes the last few years, to talk about how these things affect young people today and how faith can still mesh with our culture and in our world. So we're really excited to have him join us.
So that's a unique piece this year as well, having a centerpiece kickoff and then it happening in each of the parishes, right?
For those who are familiar with Theology on Tap, we often did a finale kind of at the end of the summer, but I think a lot of sites asked if we can do a kickoff instead, because all of that momentum from the kickoff
energy.
Then gets energy back into the parish sites. And so we took it into consideration and thought it was a great idea. And we're really excited that we'll be able to start the TOT season with a big event.
And so he's going to be our guest coming up next. He is in Canada today. It is Memorial Day in Canada. So he'll be with us in a few minutes to join our conversation. Yes, I spoke to him earlier today. It's very cold up there, I guess. So he will be with us in conversation. But as we continue the conversation with him, I think it's really important that our listeners, that they also, for evangelization, let anybody who's a young adult in their life know that this is happening. Mm-hmm. And later in the show, we're going to have someone who's from Vicariate One, which is up north, who's going to join our conversation as well. And the reason for that is so that you know that it's happening all over the diocese. And so to keep your ears open, look for your parish bulletins. How else are you going to be? Well, we'll talk a little bit more when we come back.
Good news. I send you out on a mission of love. I send you out on a mission of love. I send you out on a mission of love, and know that I am with you always until the end of the world.
Well, it's time for your gift to the annual Catholic Appeal helps support our Catholic schools. Your gift supports religious education, ministerial formation, and initiatives for life, peace, and justice. And your gift supports Catholic Relief Services as it offers a lifeline to people around the world whose lives are devastated by natural disasters, illnesses, and war. Cardinal Blaise Supich comments on the annual Catholic Appeal.
It's a way to bring Christ into the world, to make sure that people who so often go through life without actually feeling that someone cares about them, that we see that as part of the mission of the Church. The annual Catholic Appeal allows people to participate in the work of Christ, not just the work of their parish or the work of the Archdiocese. We're talking about the work of Christ.
Please visit annualcatholicappeal.com for more information. Thank you for your gift in the service of Christ.
Close your eyes and imagine spending a week in a beautiful lakeside setting where you can reflect, pray, and learn more about the treasures of the Bible. Doesn't that sound nice? Now open your eyes, because this wonderful opportunity can be yours when you attend the annual Summer Scripture Seminar at the University of St. Mary of the Lake in Mundelein. Notable Christian scholars from across the United States will come to Mundelein June 25th through the 30th to talk about the Book of Revelation and how it's a book of hope in troubled times. This Summer Scripture Seminar is designed to offer you spiritual renewal and inspiration with people who share your passion for the Word of God. Stay for the week or sign up for specific lectures. For details, visit the relevantradio.com events tab and select Illinois. If you love the Bible or are thinking now is the time to find out what all the hype is about, then come to the Summer Scripture Seminar, June 25th through the 30th, at the University of St. Mary of the Lake in Mundelein.
To become people of spirit, it's time for us. To become people of love, it's time for us.
It's time for us.
To know that Jesus Christ is risen.
Welcome back to the Mission of Love. This is Beth White, your host this morning. With me in studio is Christina Bax from St. Clement's and Darius Villalobos, who is co-hosting with me this morning. So we have on our phone now Father Thomas Rozica. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for inviting me.
So in the very beginning of our conversation here with our two guests here in studio, we were just talking about the background of Theology on Tap and how it's 37 years old and it's almost not a young adult anymore. And so there's a little renovation going on. And so you are going to be the keynote speaker, as it were, for the kickoff for Theology on Tap here in Chicago. So thank you for being with us today.
Thanks. I'm looking forward to this.
Yeah, so I just want to, you are the founding CEO of Salt and Light Television. For our guests, could you just explain what Salt and Light Television is?
Sure. Some call it Canada's first national Catholic television network, but it's more than just a TV network. It was born in 2003, right in the wings of World Youth Day 2002 in Toronto. I was the head of World Youth Day, and I was asked to lead this project forward, this television project. But really what it's become is a very creative media platform. While television is our first platform, we're also on radio, and we're on about 8 different levels of social media, 8 different platforms. The best part of it is the young people. This project has been guided and led by young adults from the very beginning. So there's a real dynamic energy. It's unlike some Catholic television networks who mean very well, do great stuff, but they do programs for young people. Ours, their program is done by young people, for young people, and for adults. So it's really pointed to the future, and it's probably one of the most creative instruments of the new evangelization that I've encountered.
So tell us a little bit about your exciting upcoming Thursday evening celebration.
Thanks, because this is the week of weeks. We're dedicating our new broadcast center. We moved into our new center in December of 2016. We've started now. We're going into our 15th year, but it took about 4 years to dream about a new center and to really build a beautiful broadcast center with a proper studio for television, for radio, proper workspaces, a large meeting space right in the middle of Toronto. And so it's come about, and we're going to be dedicating this, inaugurating it on Thursday evening, May the 25th, with really an all-star cast.
And who's your special guest coming from the Vatican?
Father Federico Lombardi is going to come. I had the privilege of working with him the past 15 years. And I invited my friend Father Federico to come. People know him because he's really been, although he doesn't say it, he's been the spokesperson for Pope Francis, for Pope Benedict, and also he worked very closely as the head of Vatican Television and Radio under Pope John Paul II. So we have somebody who's going to come and share with us what's the whole purpose of communicating, why we communicate. And he's going to share also some inside stories and what it was like to be the voice and the mind and the eyes and the ears of three great popes.
That's wonderful. So you were the English language attaché of the Holy See Press Office, right?
That's right. I worked with them. It came about because back in, let me back up. During World Youth Day, whenever you lead a World Youth Day, as I had to do, you have to deal a lot with the Vatican. You have to deal a lot with media around the world because it's a world event. So I met a lot of people and got to know people back in 2001, 2002, and those relationships continued. One of those people, of course, a key person, was Father Lombardi. In 2008, for the Synod on the Word of God and the Life and Mission of the Church, Pope Benedict appointed me as the English language person for that synod, which meant I got to work very closely with Father Lombardi in attending all the sessions of the synod and communicating them, you know, spreading the news about them to the world. I thought, once that was over, it can't be much better than this. What an extraordinary experience. Then I was called back for 2012 for the Synod on the New Evangelization, which was another interesting experience. But in the meantime, the Vatican invited my staff, Salt and Light Television, to also be present, so a whole crew of young adults, to be present inside the synods and to do the interviews with the synod fathers and the delegates. So it was an extraordinary privilege. And when we went home from that synod in November of 2012, I remember we all said to ourselves, wow, what an incredible experience. And little did we know that 4 months later, we'd be called back to the Vatican. I was called back the day Benedict resigned. And Father Lombardi said, I need you to be my assistant now for English language.
Wow.
So we worked very carefully. I had some of my staff with me in coordinating what was an army of journalists. There were about 6,400 accredited journalist to the Holy See for the papal transition in 2013. It was a dizzying, exhilarating, wonderful experience. And of course, the result is Pope Francis. And then I was called back for 2014 and then 2015 for the two synods. So it was an extraordinary thing. And Father Lombardi asked me to continue helping by creating a bridge, maintaining a list every day with English language journalists, because the Vatican really wasn't very specialized in English. They had some stuff in English, but not a lot. And so what began in 2013 continues to this day is a media list. I don't have an official title, except I run this media list every day. It goes out. In fact, today, Monday, that we've sent out two bulletins today to about 1,700 journalists.
So you and I spoke earlier, and we talked about you work with a lot of young adults, as you just said.
Yes.
And so what have they taught you? What has working with this younger generation taught you?
That's a very good question. You know, it takes me back to the summer of 2001, the year before our World Youth Day. And in leading the World Youth Day, I had the privilege of meeting Pope John Paul II, St. John Paul, many times. And one of those times was the summer of 2001 when I was invited to Castel Gandolfo with a small group of my staff who were the key positions running World Youth Day. So we had a beautiful mass with the Pope. His health was not good. And afterwards, we went into the living room. And it was a very moving experience because I watched the Pope's response to them and my staff's response to him. And at the end of it, I just said to him, Holy Father, give me a word or something, you know, give me some inspiring word, because we were dealing with huge responsibilities and also challenges for the World Youth Day. And I'll never forget him taking my hand and kind of the shaking voice, he said to me, keep young people close to you. They'll keep you young and they'll keep you faithful.
Mm.
And I remembered those words. And believe me, I have tried to live by those words because that's been my ministry. I've been a priest 31 years now. And all of my priestly ministry has been working with young adults, young people, you know, post-university, postgraduate students. And they have kept me young. They've kept me faithful. They've kept me on my toes. And also, they made me reflect about my own faith. And one of the biggest things is, if I'm not able to explain clearly the reasons for my faith, the reasons why I'm doing things, the God in whom I believe, my relationship with Jesus, if I can't explain that clearly, I might as well keep my mouth shut. So they've had me constantly thinking and reflecting, and it's kept me young.
So the tools have changed a lot since 2002. And social media has grown, and it's a much more dominant part of the communications piece today. So what do you think are the really good things about social media, and what are some of the challenges that you're seeing with it?
It's one of my topics I really enjoy thinking about. I often call it, what are the horizons and the limitations of this social media craze? Well, first of all, it's an incredible tool. It's a wonderful instrument, the Internet. Being able to communicate with people 24/7 in any part of the world, it really links us together. The rapidity of getting something out. For example, when we did World Youth Day back in 2000, 2001, 2002, though we had Internet, but we didn't have Facebook or Twitter, we had the fax and we had the web. And so we relied heavily on communicating the message of the web, of the message of World Youth Day over the World Wide Web. But then comes about Twitter and Facebook, and I think as cute, as wonderful, as fast, as instantaneous it can be, there are also some drawbacks as well. Because as I look back now and seeing this generation of young people, does the web, does social media really connect us together? Well, some say yes, but I say, what kind of connection? I think we run the risk with over-insistence, over-reliance on social media to end up with what I would call a huge globalization of ridiculousness, a globalization of superficiality. You know, we put a huge investment and huge expectation on the number of hits, the number of views, how many likes, how many shares, how many tweets, how many pokes, and this and that. And in the end, does it really bring us together? Like, one thing I've noticed is handy as they may be, like, my young people have taught me how to use Facebook, how to use Twitter, how to use Instagram, how to use all these other things, and they're really wizards at it. But at the same time, what does it mean? Are they able to communicate better? Are they able to write letters? I often tease my staff and say, when's the last time you wrote a letter to someone? And, you know, you can't condense everything always in 140 characters for a tweet. So it's prevented, I think, some authentic communication. The other thing I've noticed that it can do is to create a sort of dependency, some would say an addiction, where we walk around looking down at the handheld device and we don't look up at people. And so I think we have to be aware of that and to let people know this is a great instrument, but nothing replaces human communication. The Word became flesh. The Word did not become a tweet, an Instagram photo, a poke, nor did it become Snapchat. The Word became flesh. And this means we have to talk to one another. And I really hope that we don't forget that, and we don't forget the art of writing.
Well, when we come back, we're going to take a break here. I want to talk to you a little bit about you coming here and sort of what you're excited about being able to kick off our Theology on Tap. We'll
sure,
be right
thanks.
Back.
Mm-hmm. On a mission of love, I send you out. On a mission of love, and know that I am with you always until the end of the world.
Well, it's time for us to become people of spirit. It's time for us.
Ever think of donating your car? You can donate a car that you no longer need to Catholic Charities. The donation will help needy people throughout Cook and Lake Counties. Donating your car is easy. Call us at 877-786-GIVE from anywhere in the country. That's 877-786-4483. Pickup is free. We do the paperwork and you get a tax deduction. Catholic Charities accepts cars, trucks, vans, motorcycles, or boats in almost any condition. No need to pay hefty repair bills. Avoid the hassle of selling. Calls taken 7 days a week at 877-786-GIVE. That's 877-786-4483. Or go online to CatholicCharities.net.
The cemetery ministry is a core ministry of our Catholic faith tied to the corporal works of mercy. It's comforting to know that our Catholic cemeteries are caring for the remains of our loved ones awaiting the resurrection. There are 44 Archdiocese of Chicago Catholic cemeteries willing to help you in your time of loss. Call 708-449-6100 or visit CatholicCemeteriesChicago.org. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
You're listening to Relevant Radio, 950 AM and 930 AM. Talk radio for Catholic life. Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that touch our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 a.m. and 930 a.m. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
Welcome back to A Mission of Love. This is Beth White, the Director for Evangelization and Missionary Discipleship, and this is our monthly evangelization radio show. And in studio is Christina Box and Darius Villalobos, and we have on the phone from Canada Father Tom Rosica. Welcome back, Father Tom.
Thank you.
So when we last spoke, we talked about, you know, your TV station, radio station, and You must have a really great relationship with the media. Tell us, we're getting a lot of, in our country, a lot of bashing of our media, fake news and things like that. What is your impression as a priest who works for the church, and what is your impression of the media?
You know, I never studied media or journalism. I'm a professor of scripture, so I didn't learn about teaching and communicating. And right from the beginning of my priesthood, I've been asked to deal with secular media particularly. My experience has always been very positive because I simply view it as another way to evangelize and to communicate. It saddens me very much to hear the rhetoric and some of the ridiculous statements in the United States, particularly when leaders of countries or government officials would condemn the media, block them out, forbid them from being present at press conferences. That serves no purpose whatsoever. My experience has been quite the opposite. I have treated the media as individuals, as human beings. The vast majority of them are about the work of doing good, of pursuing the truth and telling a story. There's no question that you have some of them that are in it for the wrong reasons, or they do nothing but to destroy, to defame, to break down. They thrive on the whole thing of living in opposition or finding opposition. That's not the purpose of the media. The media is to tell the truth. And so my relationship has always been based on that premise, and I deal with high-level media personalities, with television anchors, with reporters, journalism, print, radio, television, and it's been to share a story and to tell the truth and to engage in dialogue. What happens many times with dealing with these folks is that a relationship develops, a relationship of trust. You learn right away which journalists and which agencies and outlets you can trust. I've also seen them as helping us to get the message out. I look particularly at the media dealing with the pontificate of Pope Francis.
Mm-hmm.
They have helped greatly to get across some of his most important messages, his vision, his hopes and desires. It's been a very positive thing. You have those who will exploit and distort and contort. There's no question. But the majority of the ones that I have dealt with in many different countries have been very fine people with names, with faces, with families, with reputations. When we treat them with respect and dignity, we receive the same response back. And so that's been my experience. To exclude, to excoriate, to condemn serves no purpose. It's not befitting of those of us who are in the church. We have to be wise. We have to be shrewd. We have to be prudent, but we have to be honest in dealing with the media.
So how do you think Pope Francis has helped us?
Tremendously. I mean, mm-hmm. the whole fact of his election, it came about after some very difficult years. Pope Benedict was truly a great pope, in my mind, a doctor of the church. But he suffered terribly because he went into the office in the year he was elected, in 2005, with a lot of baggage and a lot of negative stories that had already swirled. All wrong, of course, but they were there. So he had really some terrible odds. He was also very poorly served by those who were working closely with him. Francis came along, and the playing field changed almost overnight.
Because no one knew him.
And no one knew him, but also the manner in which he dealt with people. It was his transparency, his openness, his willing to enter into dialogue, and he took huge risks.
Mm-hmm.
He did things which drove a lot of people in the Vatican crazy. He didn't follow the schemas. He wasn't wearing a straitjacket. He was completely free. And so by Francis's way of relating to and using the media, his message has gone out to the ends of the earth. And it's a very positive thing. There are those who criticize that. They say he was very imprudent. He said things. The media's seized upon different things. I'm not one to agree with that. I see this as a very positive working relationship, and Francis is grateful for the work that they do. He's also learned on the job. I mean, anybody who knows him from his days in Argentina would know that this is called the grace of office. He wasn't one dealing with the media in Argentina. He avoided them. And here what he's done is to really use them as an instrument, as a way of getting his message across to the world.
So as evangelization.
Absolutely.
So you mentioned that Salt and Light has different departments, and so you had mentioned to me that you have a Chinese department, and that was very interesting from an evangelization standpoint.
Yeah, we broadcast in English and French, our two major languages. Then we have programs in Italian, and we have programs in Mandarin and Cantonese. This was a choice I really wanted to have from day one because China is the new frontier. The potential for the first evangelization and new evangelization are tremendous. Here in Canada, we have a huge Chinese community in Toronto and Vancouver and many other cities. And so we have locals, Chinese Canadians, that are working with us. And unbeknownst to us, beginning about 7 years, 6 years ago, our programming, whether it be the radio or the online, live streaming or television program, has made its way into China. And this is really an incredible thing for the world of evangelization and the nature of evangelization.
So that is so exciting, and we are excited to have you coming here to Chicago. So, you know, when you speak to young people, what kind of energy does that give you personally?
Well, I'm touching the future. I'm not going down nostalgia lane or, you know, the once upon a time. I'm seeing the energy. I know, for example, the great youth ministry that you have in your diocese. I know what Father Peter does. I know, you know, I go back to the whole Theology on Tap. I first became aware of Theology on Tap when I was in theology myself years ago, and Cardinal Bernardin was hosting Theology on Tap in the garden, in the yard of his mansion where he was living. I remember seeing scenes of this, of a big barbecue and a cookout and dynamic discussions, and Cardinal Bernardin was not afraid, and that continued under Cardinal George. These were very creative ways to go and meet young people where they are. The tap, you know, the so-called the bar scene and whatever, where this takes place, is simply the pretext for something that's much greater. So when Father Peter invited me to come, I said I will, because I've always seen Chicago, the church in Chicago, is at the epicenter of the church in the United States. They don't call it the Windy City for nothing. It's a vibrant place. Very creative energies, creative trends have come from Chicago. It's rich in its ethnicity, culture, liturgy, hope. I had the privilege last year of addressing the Association of Chicago Priests. Though it's something that bespeaks an older time, still there's still an energy there among a certain generation of priests to carry forward what the Vatican Council represented. And so that's carried on with the priests. I know many priests in your diocese. Cardinal George had me speak to the priests some years ago about new evangelization and young people. There was a big gathering, about 700 or 800 priests. It was a clergy study day, and it was a really dynamic moment. So I'm very happy to come to the source, and it's going to help reactivate or enliven once again Theology on Tap, which is a wonderful instrument. It's used around the world right now. I've been to them in Australia, even in Italy. We had some in a bar in Italy. Here in Canada, we've had many I've been to. And it's a way of dialogue with the younger generation.
Well, I think I speak for my two guests here in the studio. We would be very willing to go to Italy for a Theology on Tap.
Not just, in the real warm weather.
Just
but anyway,
to try it out.
No, it's great to do it. And there were American students or North American students in Rome when I went, and it was a good experience.
Of course, exactly. So if you... I know we're trying to finalize sort of all of the details of your talk, but tell us what your favorite thing to talk to young people about is.
Well, I think the most important thing, I'm not there to talk about all of the intricacies of social media, although I'm going to refer to that. I'd like to talk about Jesus and why Jesus is very important in our lives today. Why we need Jesus, why we need God in our lives, because everything around us is telling us that we can do it without God. We don't need Jesus, and we've got all kinds of other instant helps that have stepped in. I want to talk about Jesus. I want to talk about the saints and how the saints can be some really great role models. They can be beacons for us, and some really cool saints, too, because one of the things we specialize in at Salt and Light Television is to tell the stories of the saints in a new way. We made about 50 documentaries in these past 14 years. And some of them are absolutely beautiful. And people would say, wow, this is not sugary, sweet hagiography. These are great stories. And then, of course, let's talk about social media. Let's talk about how you guys are communicating and how you're not communicating. And I'll share some funny stories and experiences.
That's exciting. And when you talk about social media and with young people, there's a real, it's the pros and cons kind of thing. But it's a wonderful tool to bring people together as well.
Oh, it's amazing. I'm going to tell them, use this. This is a way, I always say the social media can be a weapon of mass construction rather than a weapon of mass destruction. It's got that potential too. The send all button is a weapon of mass destruction. They're not weapons that were not found in Iraq after the war. But it's the send-all button, the way we can destroy reputations and hurt people and harm people and spread falsehood. But it can also be a weapon of mass construction to build up, to encourage, to reach out to people who are lonely, to reach out to those with whom we'd never be in contact with. And it can be a very positive thing. And how are we going to do that? A lot of people say the web is nothing but a cesspool of hatred and destruction. And I'd say, okay, then infiltrate that. Go and clean it out. Mm-hmm. And the way we do that is by spreading positive stories.
And that's, being present and sharing those positive stories are really important for all of us. And so you're going to be with us on Monday, July 10th. And Christina, we have more information where that they can find out?
Yes, information about that event will be posted on the Theology on Tap website, www.totchicago.org. That was T as in Tom, T-O-T. And certainly the local parishes and young adult groups will be sending that information out as well.
And they'll also have a list on there of all the parishes where the follow-up gatherings are after Father Tom's gathering. And the online registration will be there as well, right?
Yes.
Correct.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for your time this morning.
I'm looking forward to being there. I'm looking forward to meeting you folks in person. I've heard about the great things that whole media operation is doing. We just did a long interview with Cardinal Supich a couple weeks ago, which is going to be airing shortly in our network. And I was very impressed by the radio studio, by the television studio, by the wonderful people working down there. I can't wait to meet you all again.
Well, thank you so much. We look forward to seeing you when it's warmer.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, it's time for us to become people of spirit. It's time for us to become people of love. It's time for us,
it's time for us
to know that Jesus Christ is risen, forgives our sin and brings us.
The word made clear is exactly what its name implies. It's an easy-to-understand explanation of the Word of God, the Gospel. Hello, I'm Father James McElhone, Director of Biblical Formation for the Archdiocese of Chicago. I'd like to invite you to take our free online Bible study program by going to thewordmadeclear.org. Our website offers an audio-based guide to the Gospels of Mark, Matthew, Luke, and John. Listen to my lectures and follow along with the handouts provided. There are even discussion guides. You can also explore the biblical roots of the Mass. And there are links to a wide variety of biblical sources that will benefit both teachers and students of the Sacred Scriptures. Just go to wordmadeclear.org to experience our free online Bible study program. Again, it's free at wordmadeclear.org. It's the Word of God. Enjoy.
Close your eyes and imagine spending a week in a beautiful lakeside setting where you can reflect, pray, and learn more about the treasures of the Bible. Doesn't that sound nice? Now open your eyes, because this wonderful opportunity can be yours when you attend the annual Summer Scripture Seminar at the University of St. Mary of the Lake in Mundelein. Notable Christian scholars from across the United States will come to Mundelein June 25th through the 30th to talk about the Book of Revelation and how it's a book of hope in troubled times. This Summer Scripture Seminar is designed to offer you spiritual renewal and inspiration with people who share your passion for the Word of God. Stay for the week or sign up for specific lectures. For details, visit therelevantradio.com events tab and select Illinois. If you love the Bible or are thinking now is the time to find out what all the hype is about, then come to the Summer Scripture Seminar, June 25th through the 30th, at the University of St. Mary of the Lake in Mundelein.
Baptize you in the name of the Father. I baptize you in the name of the Son. I baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Go out and spread good news. I send you out on a mission of love. I send you out on a mission of love. I send you out on a mission of love. And know that I am with you always until the end of the world.
Welcome back to A Mission of Love. This is Beth White, the Director for Evangelization and Missionary Discipleship for the Archdiocese, and your host for this morning. I have with me Darius Villalobos, who is our co-host, and Christina Box. So Father Tom was wonderful. That will be a wonderful talk.
Very much looking forward to it. And I love that he speaks from such experience and wisdom working with young people in the context of the church and media. So again, that will be Monday evening, July 10th. Save the date. And we look forward to sharing more information with you soon.
And we'll probably have a PSA coming, so you can listen as you listen to Relevant Radio in the coming weeks and months. You'll hear more about it. So Brian Fong has joined us. Brian?
Hi.
Hi. So Brian is a coordinator for Young Adult Ministry in Vicariate 1, and he is a parishioner at St. Hubert. So thank you so much. Christina is here, as well as Darius. And we just had on Father Tom Rosica, who's going to be the kickoff speaker for Theology on Tap. So thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So we just wanted to talk a little bit, Christina Fildesen and Darius, on the background of Theology on Tap. And so you are a site coordinator, is that right, in Vicariate One as well?
Yes, I am.
So what does that entail, being a site coordinator?
For being a site coordinator, for the way we do do things is reaching out, finding parishes who are willing to host Theology on Tap, coordinating with them, and then booking speakers for those different locations, and then doing all the logistical planning behind it, making sure that we have all of our decorations as well as the food and the drinks and everything like that, all that lined up for the days that we do Theology on Tap.
So how many places in Vicariate One approximately traditionally host Theology on Tap?
Traditionally, we've had between 4 to 5 locations.
Oh, that's great.
So we do try to spread it out around the area. This year we'll be having 3 host parishes, and we're trying to bring it back to the Theology on Tap's roots in bringing the church to the people, and we'll be having 2 of our sites this year at a bar.
Oh, that's great. Yes, we were talking about bringing it back to its roots. Christina was sharing with us a little bit about how some of the parishes here in the city are going to be sharing, rotating sites at restaurants and bars near their locations. So for the two of you, Christina, what is one of the most exciting things about being part of this, like, renewal?
Let me see. I think the exciting part about the renewal is just opening the doors even wider and bringing in renewed energy and renewed opportunities for relationship and connection. I think I was intrigued as excuse me, Father Tom was talking. He was questioning if social media helps to bring us into authentic communication. And I think I have seen at St. Clement the opportunity these TOT nights provide for people not only to learn about their faith, but to enter into dialogue with one another and to make connections with other young adults who are trying to live their faith in the world. I think the young adult years can be rather isolating at times and is certainly a different experience than perhaps that of our parents' generations. So even the opportunity and the knowledge that to know that you're not alone in this and the opportunity to gather with other people who are asking similar questions about the faith and about their lives at this particular point in time. So having this opportunity in pumping a little more energy into the diocesan-wide program to continue that mission and provide even greater opportunities to make that happen is what's the most exciting to me.
And how about for you, Brian?
I think the most exciting thing is the greater sense of community that we're going to be getting. It's definitely one of those where, especially with the idea of bringing everybody together as well as everybody collaborating, working together, is fantastic. We're out on the fringes, in the northern fringes, so we don't always get a chance to interact with our fellow ministries in the city. So it's kind of nice for us to know, especially, that we're not alone in this, that Theology on Tap is part of a bigger thing, that we're all part of a bigger thing, and that we're a part of something meant to really focus in on issues and questions and just different theological concepts that relate to us. There's not necessarily these huge opportunities all the time where we can go and get fed or we can go and meet people who are also looking for God in the same way we are. So it's just overall fantastic, a great way to just connect and meet people and experience our faith in a context of the community rather than trying to find things on our own.
So, Darius or Christina, either one of you can answer this question. I know Theology on Tap in the past has been, as Brian was saying, building community, and in the past it's kind of in the standalone sort of experience over 4 weeks in the summer, but we're trying as a diocese to extend this experience to a young adult event in October and then hopefully invite people into an ongoing dialogue if they're able to in their parishes. Does someone want to speak a little bit about that?
Sure. You know, I think we're in a really unique moment here in the church, not just in Chicago, but universally. The synod that's coming up in 2018 is all focusing on young people.
Oh, that's right.
The entire focus is really on helping young people in their vocational discernment. And I think that question is so important today because it's really the question of who is God calling us to be? And I think this moment allows us to have this dialogue both as a church, but then also with young people directly to say, how are we helping young people figure out how God is calling them in their lives? And so I think the follow-up to Theology on Tap actually ties into the synod conversation very well, because it's really what's next? Having all of these speaker sessions and topics and conversations over the summer is great, but how does this tie back into our everyday lives? And after Theology on Tap this summer, we're looking at a couple of really wonderful locations to first do some local conversations. The Quinto Encuentro process, the fifth Encuentro, which is really part of the Hispanic Catholic community here in the U.S., is really having that space for dialogue with young people, asking them, how is God working in your life and what does the church need to provide for you to do that? And then coming up in October, we're excited to have a young adult evangelization night that'll be hosted the evening of Friday, October 20th, at the UIC Pavilion. It'll be a great way for young adults to gather together, get to talk, learn more about their faith, hear some wonderful speakers, enjoy some communal prayer. And really just have a night that's dedicated to them and listening to them, but also engaging them in their faith. So two great opportunities for continued conversation, the Quinto Encuentro process and our Young Adult Evangelization Night.
So, Brian, why do you think that young adults can really benefit? I'm going to ask you and Christina to have a couple minutes left, a quick witness as to why you think Theology on Tap is something that young adults should participate in.
I think young adults should really look into going and experiencing Theology on Tap because it's something that's meant specifically for them. It's an opportunity to hear topics and hear speakers who are specifically trying to talk to issues and questions and everything that relate to them in their lives that they can actually relate to. It's a great way to also meet just young adult Catholics who are interested in their faith, so that way you know you're not in this alone, because this time period especially is just a really, really hard time because you're no longer in college, you don't have the campus ministry, and you're not yet in that stage where you may be 100% comfortable, but you're going to know that you're not alone in just wanting to find these answers and wanting to find your sense of being within the church.
And I would totally echo exactly what Brian said, and the only thing I would add to that is it's fun. It's a great time.
Yeah, I think most of these sites, we really get to enjoy the fact that it's a great way to meet people, but it's also a great way to share and talk about things without the pressure of having all the answers. It's really about the conversation and the dialogue. And we get great speakers, but I think the most important thing that people find is it's a great time to meet new friends and talk about your faith and see where that goes. So hope you can join us.
Well, thank you guys so much for being our guests today and encouraging us in Theology on Tap. And we'll have more information on that website,
totchicago.org.
Oh, it's totchicago.org. Check it out. And go out and spread the good news.
Join us every Monday through Friday at this time for the Catholic Community of Faith. You can stream our programs live or download past programs by going to our website, archchicago.org, and clicking on Radio TV.